Welcome back to 15 Minutes with Mark Wade. I'm Daphna.
And I am Mark Wade, Editor-in-Chief of Boom Studios. And today we're talking about the CD I just got in the mail.
It is adorable.
It's, and yet it is my secret shame. As opposed to, first off, I guess it's not going to be my secret shame in 15 minutes, is it?
No.
And secondly, as we've learned, I actually have no secret shames. Or if I actually do have secret shames, they must be really horrible, because the ones that I say in public are pretty bad, and they're not secret. I kind of feel bad about this, because I live on the other side of the fence. I actually do feel a little bad at this. Here's the thing. So, when I first got involved in comics fandom, in the early 1980s, so 25 years ago, before I became a professional, I'd read comics, but I read them in a vacuum. I didn't really have any other friends who read comics or whatever. Finally, I got involved. I lived in Dallas, and I got involved with a few other comics fans. And one of the things I got hooked up with was this amateur press association called Interlac. Now, this means nothing to you, but an APA, or Amateur Press Association, was a really cool system by which what you do is you get like 40 fans together all over the nation, all over the world, whatever, and they would each do their own little fanzine. They'd each do their own little 4 to 6 to 10 page typewritten mimeograph thing. They'd make 50 copies of it, or have like one for everybody in the group. They would be sent to a central mailer who would then recollate everything and then send everything back out. So you'd send in your contribution to this month's Interlac, which was a Legion fandom, or there were at that time there were dozens of them. And a lot of them actually, like Frank Miller and Mark Verheiden and guys like that, were members of one of the very first ones. A lot of comics guys in the 70s sort of came out of this, because it was the equivalent of doing fan art on the web today.
You are a horrible human being.
No, I mean in terms of just being able to, I'm trying my craft out.
But I have a question.
I have a question about this afterwards. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we would do this. So I did my little Legion fanzine or whatever, and it would be sent out to everybody. So my friend Kevin, who was a really good guy, we would collaborate on stuff all the time, and somehow we got it in our head that what we should do special for one of our upcoming mailings was, instead of doing a typewritten thing, we should do an audio cassette, because they were cheap, you know, we could buy them for $1 a piece, whatever, and do like a radio play, if you will, like an audio book, an audio adventure of Mark and Kevin doing whatever they do.
This is before podcasts.
This is before podcasts. This is before, and also this is clearly before common sense. So we did this thing. I honestly don't remember the plot of the first one, which was an hour long. It was Mark and Kevin on vacation, like running around the world, and it was all comic-related stuff, and we would pop into alternate universes and stuff, and I'm sure it was hysterical when I was 25 years old. Point being that it got a good reception. The other Interlac guys really liked it, and so we were called upon to do a second one for next summer. Everybody was like, oh, you got to do a second one. Interlac number 50 is coming up. It's going to be big. You got to do another one. So we did another one, and this was a lot more tightly plotted and a lot more tightly worked out, and I feel bad about it, and I'll tell you why. Because I will freely admit that it saddens me every once in a while. You go on a message board or something, and it shouldn't get to you, but you see like, oh, Mark Waid sucks. I'm like, all right.
Strong opinions in comics.
I know, but it's like, and you shouldn't bother me. And I like, or people who actually, there are some people out there who like literally follow certain creators around just to bash them. Me, Gail, Grant, like they're guys who just, that's their whole internet persona is
gives them purpose in life.
The one who hates Brian Bendis or whatever. So, and he gives them sort of purpose. And I look at them and I'm less charitable toward them than I probably ought to be, because then I look back on ours and what we did with ours. And it was Kevin and me ragging on the fact that the guy who was writing Legion of Superheroes at the time was a guy named Jerry Conway. He's a writer. I hated his work when I was that age. I thought he was the worst writer who ever worked in comics. It offended me. I was horribly offended by this. So our adventure was, our time travel adventure, to go back in time and try to stop Jerry Conway from being able to write the Legion of Superheroes. And it was funny and witty and well plotted, but man, what a dick move! I have to. I'm I so Kevin sends me just, you know, here, I have it in my hand. Kevin sends me a CD transcript of this, or a CD, you know, a copy of this old tape. And I'm listening to this, and I'm like, wow, I was just like you, HateSpendus45 on AOL.com. And we all come from these roots. I kind of feel, now I shouldn't feel bad about this because I've grown, I've matured, but it's still...
It puts it into perspective.
It's easy for me to go, well, man, do these guys have nothing else to do with their lives but be angry at, you know, Matt Fraction? Well, apparently not. Apparently someday somebody will do a big, you know, podcast about how I will keep, you know, Chuck Austin from writing X-Men and go back in time and do it, and I will wince, but then I have to look at this and go, wow, I feel bad.
I think the benefit that you have,
yeah,
is this is the only copy.
That's true.
I mean, someone might put it online. It's not going to be us.
So but don't even ask.
It's like I wonder about the next generation that's going to break into comics in a sense. Their whole history of fandom is going to be Googleable.
Oh, I know.
It's going to be, I mean, even Gail to a small respect because she did Yabs on CBR.
Gail Simone,
she's always kind of comported herself.
Yeah, but there are people. Well, there was stuff I wrote when I was a 15-year-old fan that I would not in a million years want anyone to see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it brings us back to our conversation of perspective. Like, at one point, we're going to have to acknowledge that our 15-year-old selves are going to live forever. And I'm so happy I changed my name online. But
smart.
There is 15-year-old Daphne and her Young Justice fixation that never needs to be seen again.
Oh, I feel creepy now. But no, I you know, that is the advantage I have. When we did,
some people had Starfire. I had Con.
That's fine. Okay. I understand. Somewhere in two or three people's moldering closets, there are still copies of Interlac Appa's from the early 1980s that have my contributions in them, and I'm sure that
I just realized you've put out a call to the internet for someone to scan that in.
Dear internet, please don't find old copies of Agent 44, the fanzine, and
burn them.
Don't dare scan them online and talk about, you know, and listen to me yell about how much I hate this guy who I now have to work with 25 years later. Oh my God, what have I done? But this is the price of fandom. This is what you grew up in. You doing it. I often say that it never would have occurred to me when I was a kid to call up an editor of a comic book company and yell at him about the way he was treating Justice League. And it feels to me like that same sort of self-control impulse is not necessarily present in our current readership. But maybe that's a good thing.
I mean, do you think it's a question of access, though? Like, could you if you had the number? Would you? Like, if you were 15 years old and you had this phone number to the desk of the person that is ruining your favorite characters.
Yeah. I don't think I could have done it.
Really?
I don't think I could have done it.
But you know there are people out there who would.
That's true.
Just see more of them now.
That's true. We see, well, we have, you know.
And we hear the loudest voices.
Right. And it costs nothing to do. Also, when I was that age, a long-distance phone call would have cost me $25. So
I was going to say Telegram. I know.
Hello,
I'm sorry.
Hello, Pony Express. Stop. Send this angry letter to Julie Schwartz, please.
Hands off. Stop, my legion. Stop.
dear Jerry Conway, stop. You're right. Anyway, and all this is to say, by the way, I've since met Jerry Conway. He's a very fine man. He's a very smart man. He's a much better writer than I gave him credit for because I was 15,
our tastes 25. At 15 weren't very good.
No, our taste at 25 was not very good.
My tastes at 25 are fantastic, Mr. Wade.
Yeah. Tell me more.
And I will never die or grow old.
Exactly. And I will be young forever. That was the nature of fandom. That was the, you seem sort of mesmerized and yet perplexed by this whole notion of the Appas, by the ocean of, like, doing your typewriting, literally typewriting your contribution on mimeo paper that you would have to then go take down to some chemical lab and put in a machine that you would pour chemicals into and run the drum by hand over and over again until it spat out these foul-smelling...
And that's why your whole generation has cancer, Mark.
That's right, exactly, because we're all breathing mimeo fumes from this weird purple ink that we had to use. It was awful.
I'm really fascinated. This is new to me.
Yeah.
This information of not only your fandom experience as a youngin.
Yeah.
Frank Miller, these names you were saying, people who participated in a fandom structure that sounds suspiciously like what a lot of my generation
That's
does.
Very true. It's just the medium is different.
The medium is different, and the exposure is different. So it's very fascinating to see, you know, in discussions online a lot of time, there is a disdain for these people, for especially because it's online, it's a community that is more accessible and comfortable for girls than the comic stores.
Right.
And so seeing a disdain for fandom where the secret origins of all our favorite characters come from a very similar
place. That's very true.
So is it this uncanny valley in sense of same behavior, but this person looks different?
Yeah. I think there's another factor here, though, which is that I think that, again, I'm not supporting disdain for fandom. Neither am I denying it. No, but I'm not sustaining it because, again, we're all, I wouldn't dare. We all come from that dark place of fandom. But I think that there is, it is harder to take some of it as seriously because it's just so easy to access now. It's so easy to, there's a difference between, this is not a condemnation or a support, but it is, there's a difference between Frank Miller, for instance, you know, literally like taking pen to paper and drawing stuff out as a fan, as a young fan, and doing his artwork, or Mark Verheiden sitting over a manual typewriter, you know, packing out and making little corrections with correcting tape, and then going into the Mimeo machine and physically creating a document that then would go out to people. And there's a difference between that and going on the net and spending 20 minutes doing a post.
Now, here's where I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
A, Comiket. Have you heard of it?
Nope.
In Japan? Blew my mind. I went there 2 years ago. My experience with fandom was mostly American. Go there. Because I've never really been into the anime manga, which I hope I'm pronouncing correctly. Yes. But I was visiting a friend in Japan, so we went to Comiket because it's free. And it was bigger than Comic-Con.
Wow.
Huge exhibition hall filled with men, women, children, all ages. And it's fan-produced work. These fan comics that are edited, that are printed, that, of, you know, other people's characters. Yeah. It's fandom. It's, you know, Supernatural, Smallville, you know,
so
Spider-Man.
It's existing property.
Gossip Girl.
Wow.
And they make these full-scale series comics. They have their own fans with, you know, around the block.
That's awesome.
You know, people lining up to get things signed and put down good. I mean, I'll bring some of my Star Trek stuff that I bought.
So in other words, it's technically it's bootleg stuff, but it's treated with a respect that we, far beyond what we would treat
here.
With here. Yeah.
But I also think that it's, again, and I used that this metaphor last podcast, but I think it's apt in the sense that if you're not familiar with the community, it is very easy to, it's very hard to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yes.
Look at books, 99% of the stuff out there, by sheer virtue of the fact, is going to be crap.
Yeah.
You need to know to read the New York Times book review to find out the good stuff, people's opinions that you trust to point you the way, to sift through and filter. So when someone who comes into the current fandom as it exists now, from an outside perspective, with no one to ask, with no idea how to look, they'll go to fanfiction.net.
Right.
It's like going into a bookstore, closing your eyes,
exactly, and pulling something,
picking
random.
Something off, and judging the entire medium about it. And I think it's very easy because, again, it's back to the access. We now see so much more than we had before.
That's true.
I think part of that production acts as a filter. Did you see that link that got passed around a few weeks back to the New York Times, fake New York Times article with Peter Parker?
Yes.
That's fandom.
You're right.
That's fan fiction. Yeah. And that's good quality. I mean, that's programming. That's taking time, thought, editing.
You're right. This is not just somebody dashing off a 20-minute blog post. This is, I've put effort and craft into this. I agree. This is, I want to put this down for a separate conversation at some point because I really want to talk about fan fiction. And because I don't have a problem with it. I actually think that, first off, all fiction is fan fiction to some degree. All right. Let's take a couple of minutes here to wrap up. Because we're on a whole different subject now. So everybody grab a pen and a piece of paper.
You know the podcast is working.
Everybody grab a piece of paper and a pencil, or a pen, or whatever you use.
Open notepad on your computer, guys.
Jeez, I know. God, every time you talk like this, I feel...
Open your Google Documents.
God.
Get your Twitters open.
That's right. Dip your quill and...
Should we make a hashtag for this?
You use Twitter
way more than I do.
You're right. That's true. Thank you, Jim Lee. So, yes, I will. All right, I will. I'll do all this. But what we'll do is, the backstory is, I'm doing a convention in a few weeks here at Long Beach. And they wanted to do spotlight on Mark Waid or whatever. I'm like, well, let's make it a little more specific this time. And off the top of my head, I said, here's what I want to do. I want to do 45 questions in 45 minutes. I'm going to guarantee the audience that we'll get through 45 questions, 45 minutes, because the value of that is that I am so much more likely to say something stupid and inflammatory and litigious if I can't think things through. It's going to be awesome. So I want to practice.
I love how gleeful you are. I can't wait to string myself up in front of the crowd.
I can't wait to look like a moron in front of a room of people. I want to try it here. I want to practice with the next podcast. What I want is for people, and Daphna will, at the end of this podcast, will supply you with an email address. It'll be in the post. We'll give you an email address, and I'll also put it on Twitter. And I ask questions, and Daphna will select at random 15 questions that I will not see ahead of time. And so the next podcast will be 15 questions in 15 minutes, 15 questions, 15 answers, 15 minutes. Who knows what I'll say? Feel free to ask whatever you want.
Doesn't mean you'll ever see them.
Doesn't mean you'll necessarily ever see them, but I will let Daphna,
be scarred. I will take that hit for him.
Daphna will, make sure that we take out the truly, slanderous and libelous questions. But I promise to be as honest as I possibly can. And like I said, when you got me on a clock, I'm a lot more honest. So let's try that. So again, Daphna will give you the email address. Mm-hmm. We'll put it in the post. And I encourage you to write questions for next week. And we will see you then. 15 questions in 15 minutes.
On 15 Minutes with Mark Waid.
See you next week.
See you next week.